Hello and welcome to another episode of Never a Straight Answer Extra, the extra podcast we put out midweek because we're kind of nice like that, and we've pretty much got a load of extra news knocking around the bunker that we thought we'd just throw out there for the cheeky one.
Oh yeah, so have a cheeky one.
Yeah, midweek, how's it going?
Yeah. It's alright, it's not too bad.
Since Monday to Wednesday.
Yeah.
Not much has happened.
No.
Yeah, it's been interesting.
It has.
And plus this is pre-recorded, so who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Anything can happen in the next 24 hours.
Or 48.
Or 64, yeah. So, yeah, we've got plenty of news. And like I hinted at in the last episode, that we've actually got a real life mystery going on right now.
Yes, we have.
It's going to sound really stupid, but like
it is a
when I start talking about it, but yeah, it is a mystery, and there's a lot of people talking about it too.
Yes.
So it's not just me.
No.
But so first off, to kick off the show, do you have any news?
I do.
Well, enlighten us, sir.
Okay.
Am I going to be like, oh, Taylor?
No.
Taylor.
Well, here we go.
Don't.
An attempted hijack.
Oh, go on then.
Yeah, in Bangladesh.
There's not been a hijack for ages, has there?
No, there hasn't actually. I haven't heard one for quite a while. Quite a while, which is good news. A guy forced himself onto a plane.
Sorry, it's like one of those things where, do you know, like it says a number of days since accident.
Yeah,
we just kind of went, oh yeah, there's not been a hijacking for ages until this one.
Yeah.
So yeah, go on.
So there's been quite a little gap though, which is good.
Yeah.
The less of it, the more, better.
Less of it, yeah.
Well, a guy who's got on board as a passenger on the way from... Dhaka to Dubai.
Right, okay.
And he had to stop in Bangladesh because the guy was trying to get in at the cockpit. He had a pistol. He had explosives tied to
How
his body.
How the hell
body.
Did he get on the plane?
I know.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's going to be less lack of security now.
Oh, but yeah, I suppose but if then it again, was like a kind of... I mean, well, no, I would imagine that there was a similar amount of security to the point where you can't sneak firearms onto a plane.
Yeah, but if someone really wants to do something, there is always a will.
If there's willing, a will, there's a way. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's done it. He's got on there, so they've landed, and then there was a shootout. The perpetrator's no longer with us.
He was literally just taken out on the scene.
Yeah, there was a firefight.
Well, I'm glad to be honest. At the end of the day, yeah, right. You don't know what he was going to be doing with that plane.
Well,
so
right,
the fact is, he's got rid of it, and they've got rid of the threat.
Yeah.
Bang on. Good lad.
That's it.
Good job. So, I mean, so that's pretty much the story. Then I take it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Well. I've got a couple of bits and pieces. I've got this real, actually, this made me sad a bit, but it was kind of interesting to know that this chap was still about, to be honest. You know that photograph, and it's an iconic photograph of the sailor kissing a lady in Times Square.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's an iconic photo.
Yeah, most definitely.
So it was George Mendocea, who gripped and kissed Greta Friedman, featured in one of the most famous photographs of the 20th century.
Yeah.
The poor chap, George, he's just passed away, age 95.
He's had a good innings.
I know, and it's like, there's a load of kind of thing about that photograph, isn't there, about like whether he knew her at all, or... Was that his sweetheart he was just returning to? Or was it just a lady in the street? It was like, yeah, the war's over. Yeah.
I think it was just a lady in the street. He's just pulled along and gone, come here, darling, let me give you a bit of tongue.
Well, the US sailor who was photographed kissing a woman in Times Square while celebrating the end of World War II has passed away. The black and white image of George Mendocea and Greta Friedman, best known as The Kiss, is one of the most famous photographs of the 20th century, Mr. Mendicia died at age 95 after having a seizure on Sunday, and his daughter Sharon had told the Providence Journal newspaper. So yeah, there's been a load of kind of like iconic, you know, I mean, it is one of those iconic photos, and there's been a lot of kind of people who've they've kind of like tried recreating it, you know, for like, because it's an iconic,
it's an
thing.
Iconic one,
yeah, and it's like romantic as well, do you know what I mean? If you can recreate that in middle of Times Square and kiss your lady,
she's gonna love it.
Yeah, she'll love that, won't she?
Yeah.
So he'd been staying at an assisted living facility in Middleton in Rhode Island.
All right.
I'm from Middleton, but in the UK.
Yeah. Not Rhode Island.
With his wife of 70 years, and that was Rita Petrie. The photograph of him kissing Miss Friedman, a dental assistant who was dressed in a new nurse's uniform, was captured on VJ Day on 14th of August 1945.
Yeah, long time ago, man.
Yeah, a bit of props for that guy, because, like, obviously George, mate, and the photographer as well, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
The photo, the photo was actually captured by Alfred. They send these names to test me.
I know.
Isandrakadik. I can't say it, but it was the first published in Life magazine. So you know which one. If you ever want to kind of check it out, you can just go The Kiss.
Yeah,
and you'll probably find that there. Got another quick story, unless you've got something.
No, go for it.
Do you know why? All right, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Why do zebras have stripes?
Now, you think I'm going to say blend in, don't you?
Like camouflage?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
No, it's not.
Go on, what are you going to say?
I think it's totally a different thing. to be honest, in my head at the minute, I couldn't say what.
You couldn't tell me, right. Well, it was thought that the animal's distinct coat could provide camouflage.
Yeah.
But some research has gone into it. And apparently scientists now are saying that it helps them keep away flies.
It's something to do with black and white and heat.
Yeah, well, basically, like, the animal's distinctive coat helps them keep off insects that might try and feast on them. So basically, like, mosquitoes or anything like that. So as they fly in, the stripes kind of disorientate them. And it makes it difficult for him to land. So
right, I know,
So it's like,
smart.
Oh fuck, I can't. Where can I land here? Because it's and
must
plus they're moving as well. So it must
have bothered him so much that your body decides to go, you know what? I've had enough of this. Right, flies, you ain't coming nowhere near me. So.
Well, it's been proven, and they've basically been looking into it so much now that they've actually created animals. They've created stripy coats for horses to see how many insects land on him compared to the results of horses that don't wear it.
Yeah.
So to see what happens
there.
Yeah,
see what happens.
Yeah. Well, they filmed the horses, horse flies around, you know, like to see.
Yeah.
To see what had happened in a farm in Somerset, and found that the insects approached the animals at similar rates. I don't know if it's just the case of that. You've got a zebra that's all surface area of like zebra skin, you've got a horse with a horse coat on.
Yeah, so you can still get the ankles, you can still get the head, you can still get the tail.
They're still gonna get landed on. I think it's just a bit of a pipe dream, really. I think it's a fashion statement for the horse.
Yeah, not
it's
only
like
that.
Wearing
I mean,
zebra skin.
We might the insects over here might treat it differently because there's other stuff. You've got zebra crossings, stuff like that.
I think it's more to do with smell and not pheromones, but like there'll be some sort of they'll be giving off something that attracts them because they can smell the blood.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like it's more about other things. There's more elements involved than just having a stripy coat.
Do you
know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean it might work if there was extra elements thrown in there, but as it's self-stands,
what they should be doing is putting a horse next to a zebra and then looking at how many horse flies land on either of them. Do you know what I mean? Rather than having a horse and a horse in a cover, because I just don't see that working. Like I say, there's other aspects at play where if you get a zebra and a horse, then they're both animals. The you know, the science is that if they're gonna get eaten by a horsefly, then they'll get eaten by a horsefly if the horse flies around. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the horse, if they land on them both, then it's bollocks.
Yeah.
If the horse gets bit, but the zebra doesn't, then it's
you'd have to do it.
It's got legs then, hasn't it?
Well, I think it needs more. It needs more work on it, and it needs extra elements thrown in there too. If they're in it for the horses over here and other countries, then like a bit more testing.
Do it for the horses. Are we doing it for local horses? Are we doing it for imported
horses? It's a business, man. Hey, look, it's Britain. Britain. You know what I mean? Britain. We should be thinking Britain now.
Yeah.
Like America thinks America.
Yeah.
Britain thinks Britain.
It's, yeah, we get British. Our British horses.
Yeah.
Which European are all ones. Probably Hell little no. Shire horses or like little, what are they called?
What, Shire horses?
Yeah, no, yeah. No, is that a Shire? No, it's Shire horses. Are they those small little ones?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Well,
yeah, real small one, eh?
Bit more NASA news for you.
Oh,
NASA bombshell.
Oh, bombshell again.
Saturn's moon could harbour crazy methane-based life, claims scientists.
Oh,
there's always a scientist claiming something.
Yeah.
And this one's claiming methane monsters or methane planet, methane creatures on one of the moons of Saturn.
That's possible.
So NASA scientist has exclusively revealed Saturn's moon could harbour a bizarre methane-based life form.
Possible.
I think.
But it'd be small, I'd imagine.
What? Why would you say that?
Because it'd be. Well, I could be wrong, but I would imagine they'd have to be at least small first. So they may be large animals or creatures in there, but you'd have
to start. Well, it's kind of like an ocean world, isn't it? So,
that's what they say. But
well, they say it's rivers of. Well, that's what I think they're assuming, that it's a river of.
There's a lot of issues.
Or like a lakes of methane or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I think that in terms of.
Well, we know smaller ones could live on this planet with it, so it's possible and more likely that there is under there.
Well, the Earth's Earth's assumed to be the only planet that's got, you know, in the solar system that has liquid water.
Yeah.
But this scientist has basically now understands that it's not the case, following decades of missions by the US Space Agency, NASA.
Yeah.
It's basically increased his confidence that there are watery worlds out there,
yeah,
and that's the best place to look for alien life. So,
I don't agree on that.
Well, of course it is, because that's it. Everyone, if you believe in evolution at all, so like, you know, it's
going down that route. Alan.
Well, no, I'm talking about like, you know, water is it's the one of the big things about life. Everything
but not
needs water to live.
Everything.
Well, that's what he's saying. I mean, if you're theorising that these watery worlds, and it's oxygen.
Yeah.
Yeah. We live off of gas.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the same respect that he might not even be talking about like intelligent life. They could be talking about what are they called now? These certain algae that live off methane.
Yeah.
And don't get any sunlight.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah. Well, this is the kind of stuff. I'm on about that. If there is any there, then that would be the first guarantee that there'd be definitely smaller objects than bigger objects.
Well, NASA are actually launching its Ocean Worlds Exploration Program now to attempt to try and track down one of these aquatic alien life forms. So I think that would probably be one of their first steps then, if it's Saturn's moon. Do you know what I mean? Because if they've already found like it's got a liquid ocean, then I think that would probably be the first step. Do you know what I mean? But what I think why they're theorising it's the methane-based life form, because they've probably done scans and reports that ocean is atmosphere is a methane-rich atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the life that is going to be cropping up on it is obviously going to be that sort of life.
Well, yeah, yeah, they actually found that by accident by looking at the side of it, and he was throwing out plumes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's a female scientist, I can't remember her name, she found it, and then that's how it was reported. Mm, and he went back
interesting.
And went, oh, look at this.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, yeah, yeah. It sort of squeezes.
I thought it was an interesting article. You know, it's again speculation, really, isn't it? Because I mean, it's like I could, you know, in fact, when they said methane-based life forms, it kind of made me think of something, but I couldn't remember what it was about. Spaghetti monsters. And spaghetti monsters from another planet and methane-based life forms. And okay. I was just like, oh yeah. But, you know, you could kind of throw anything out there. You could speculate that there could be a planet out there that has any sort of form of life that you could choose to imagine.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Well, yeah, true. It'd be all down to the effects and the how big the planet is, the gravity.
But this is what I was getting at, though, in the multiverse episode, right?
Yeah.
Right, and I can appreciate if it was a bit much for people because it was a heavy episode, yeah. Right, but my theory on that was, right, if CERN had creating these portals or, you know, creating like wormholes to other dimensions,
yeah,
right, other parallel universes,
yeah,
then why the fuck are we going out looking for life or looking for planets that, you know, could potentially support human life,
yeah,
right, but the conditions we'll have to acclimatise to it, right?
Oh, yeah,
yeah, we'd have to, oh, the gravity's different, or the air's thicker, so you won't be able to breathe properly, or, you know, whatever the situation is,
yeah,
right, we've got to acclimatise to that planet, right? Well, that's what I was getting at with that, because it's like, if you're CERN and you're creating these wormholes to parallel universes, then in a parallel universe, mm-hmm. or, you know, from our understanding of it, anything's possible, right?
Well, yeah.
So there'll be a planet out there, stands to reason, that there's a planet out there where we never impacted it, we never evolved, or we never even kind of came to be.
Far.
Yeah, so that planet is out there, but it's purpose built for us. Do you know what I mean?
But I think they're looking in different directions, as in
it'd be more cost effective to do that than go to space looking about just on the off chance.
Well, I think it'd be more cost effective if they concentrate on one planet and not all the other bloody planets at once.
Yeah, go
you'll
to
get
Mars.
More information. Yeah, get all your info. Well, actually, no.
I'm going to say for the closer. Second episode in a row, closer. Get your ass to Mars.
No, I disagree. Closer. With our moon first, we still don't even know what the inside looks like, you know what I mean?
They say they don't know what's going on the moon. They've been on the moon for ages.
We need to concentrate on that first. Now, all the others, throw satellites, don't start landing and shit like that, apart from Mars. But Europa's the next one after Mars. This is the thing. So I sort of agree that they should look that way as well.
Ganymede.
Yeah, but
you've got, like you say, Europa.
But they're better. Them two planets are our next two destinations, do you reckon? That's basically it. Any of the others? no, really, up to now.
Fair enough.
But, but they shouldn't go any further now, apart from, like, looking for Planet X. They should actually, like, start, like, getting as much information before we actually get there and contaminate the bloody place.
Well, they don't even know what's going on Earth at the moment, because have you seen this? This was an interesting article. NASA have released spectacular images of a huge dragon aurora charging across the sky over Iceland.
Yes.
It's a natural phenomenon, and it was caused by particles emitted from the sun that coalesce around the Earth's atmosphere.
And with our magnetism moving, it must be...
Well, they put on a fucking amazing light show, don't they?
Yeah, definitely.
But they've never ever seen one like this. Yeah. And if you Google it, just put in Dragon Aurora, and you'll see what I mean. In fact, I'll try and make it our image for the extra. And put it on Instagram. But like I say, NASA have never seen anything like it. So how this is, because I think there's been a lot of magnetic pole shifts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of swirling it around and
a lot of things there
and messing it up.
And messing
but
up
this
and
just looks like
it.
Something out of Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's a big green dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking it's a shame big. It didn't happen over Wales, because they would just be like totally.
Oh yeah, they'd be shitting themselves. Just come back.
They got the dragon quick. But so this flying dragon, it doesn't really exist. It's not a big fucking real dragon, but it's the aurora has basically developed in the sky over Iceland earlier this month, and the space agency said, "We ain't got a clue how, why, what."
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, they've just pointed it down to solar winds.
They know.
Yeah. Followed by changing interplanetary magnetic fields.
Yeah.
To the Earth's magnetosphere. So yeah, this dragon aurora is mysterious because it appeared during the time of a low sunspot activity, according to NASA, which means that the sun not even emitted any charged particles.
Yeah, so it's on the quiet. It's on its 11-year quiet cycle.
So it's weird that we normally get these auroras when it's on that cycle.
Yeah.
But at the moment, there's hardly any sunspots.
No.
So the fact that we've had this crazy, massive dragon aurora
makes
you think what's happening.
Yeah, and what are they telling you? Are they telling you the truth?
Well, could something else be creating the particles necessary to create an aurora?
Yeah.
It's over Iceland. Where's that near?
Iceland?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's up north, isn't it?
Yeah, totally, but where's it near? Is it near any other countries that are doing
Greenland,
anything?
Greenland.
Yeah.
The Netherlands.
Switzerland.
Yeah. You've got all them where you can see it.
Yeah, well, no, what I'm saying
but you could even see it from Scotland.
What I'm saying is CERN doing anything at the moment?
No,
charging
closed.
Particles
no,
or anything?
No, it's closed, isn't it? It's closed
for 2 years.
Fair enough. Yeah, so we can't really say it's
can't,
any effect from
can't even
that.
Blame CERN at the
but
moment.
But then again,
fucking
they might have turned it on and not even told us, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, that's a good point.
New experiment, but we don't want the people to
well,
know.
I've got to admit, mate, the image is beautiful.
Yeah.
And if you check
frightening,
it out,
but
it's
beautiful.
Yeah, if you look at it, it's stunning. And it
looks like a big worm coming out of the earth.
No, it looks like a dragon's body with big wings and a dragon's head, even with the serpent tongue. It's great. So, like I say, and I mean, some people will go, "Wow, oh, it's just the pareidolia." Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like it is a dragon, but you know,
but
you,
then particles
your brain,
are coming from somewhere.
But yeah, but the fact is, like, this aurora wouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
Unless there was these positively charged particles coming from like solar flares.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And if we're having no solar flares, then is it the fact that
that
we are actually having them and they're just not really telling us? I mean, don't forget we had who looks into the solar flare stuff? The Sunspot Observatory.
Well, there's loads of different scientists,
isn't it like mainly the Sunspot Observatory who have a big sort of
No, they're mainly on the sun.
That's what I'm saying, corona mass ejections.
Well, you've got satellites 24 hours.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, corona mass ejections are like some sunspot bursts, do you know what
I
mean?
Yeah, they're bursts of energy that nothing basically stops it until it hits like our atmosphere, and that's where you get the effects of the auroras.
Stuff.
Because of the amount of it depends on what how charged they are on the colours.
And that's fucking science, yo.
Yeah, that's science, man.
So,
but like, they're saying it's quiet, which it has been quiet. It has had its moods, but it has been really quiet. And it does make you wonder, actually, where are these elements coming from to actually create it?
Yeah, well, like I say, for something that kind of mental, like I say, it's got NASA stumped.
Yeah.
And like I say, they should be working out what's going on down here before they start, like,
Is the Nemesis on the way?
Who knows?
Passing.
Because I've got another theory about this, right?
Okay.
But again, it's so long-winded that we've talked about it already.
Right.
And we've discussed it as a show,
okay.
So I think I want to save it for that. But yeah, there's so much into it that is Nemesis actually here, or is it not yet due?
Is it going away or is it coming?
No. Anyway, we'll talk about that later.
Right.
So other than that, I've not really got much more news, but I want to talk about a bit of an update on Oak Island.
Yeah.
Right? Because it was a while ago since we talked about it.
Yeah.
And I thought, as an extra, quite good, because it's funny, because I've been watching it, the new series, and it's been brilliant. I think they've gone full throttle this year, right? And they've been doing a lot of different work in different areas of the island. Now, I'll start from the... I'll give you a bit of a gist if you've never heard of the story. So, Oak Island, it's a 57-acre, 140-acre privately owned island in off the shore of Nova Scotia, Canada. It's a tree-covered island, about 360 small sort of...
Little plots.
Plots, yeah. And it's...
It's been steeped
in mystery for 200 years, right? Yeah. When, first of all, a young lad claimed to have found, thought what he found, an impression in the ground.
Yeah.
He dug there and he basically put it down to a treasure. Something was buried, right? Yeah. But he didn't have the manpower, so he left it. Come back with friends. Started digging, and it just kept getting stranger and stranger, mystery after mystery.
Yeah,
things were being uncovered, which were pointing at a treasure that they could never get.
Yeah.
Right. So for 200 years, people have been convinced that this treasure is there. Right.
Yeah.
And now there's a documentary sort of style program on the Discovery on History Channel. Sorry.
Going for what, 6 years?
That's been going for 6 years.
Yeah.
And that follows two brothers called the Laginas, and his group of associates who were trying to kind of put the mystery to bed.
Yeah.
Right, and they've thrown a lot of capital at it and a lot of time.
Yeah.
Right, and this season, I think a lot of the previous seasons have been a lot of speculation and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But this season, it's been weird because they seem to have got a lot of investment. Like, which worries me, right? Because I heard one of them say about kind of government grants. Yeah.
If you're
salvaging, I was looking into salvage law for Nova Scotia. Yeah, because the salvage law, it's maritime law.
Yeah.
Right, and if you kind of retrieve something, but I don't know if this only kind of counts at sea.
It doesn't count.
Right, now this is a private island.
Yeah.
Right. So who owns it? The guy who owns
the
island.
Different law because the sea law. It goes well for every country. It's 3 miles.
Yeah.
Right. But for America, it's 100 miles.
Well, this is Canada, right? So the Canadian government have given them grants, right? So are they kind of hoping that they'd dig something up where they could just turn around and say, "Sorry, lads, but that's got intrinsic historical value," or it's got a religious artifact. Well, that's the maritime law, because the law is, if you retrieve something or help someone retrieve something, then you're entitled to something in exchange of the same value.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if it's a priceless artifact, how can you monetize a priceless artifact? A one of a kind thing.
Just have to come to a deal, don't you, really? Whoever's like if they say, right, we'll give you 20 quid and you say, you give me 100.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, the reason why this has all come up and the reason why I'm bringing it up again today is because, like I say, they've been doing a lot of different work. They've just on an update of the sort of things they've been doing.
Yeah.
Is they've been trying to relocate the money pit, the original money pit, right? Which is where they believe that there's a vault with treasure of some description, right? Now, they've been drilling... And they've been pulling up parchments, right?
Right.
On the drills and in caissons, right? So they're bringing these caissons up so they can analyse it and see what's in a core sample, right? And they're finding bits of parchment, what looks to be like medieval text, right?
Yeah.
On it. Red ink with black ink. And you know, like how you'd think a King Arthur scroll and it'd start with that big letter?
Oh, yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what worries me is it's going to all be fucked. It's all going to be destroyed by the time they get any of it up, right?
Well, I think they've destroyed the top part already, and there's already parts underneath.
If it's anything like of like documentation, then
well,
it's
yeah,
going to be
he hit the vault at one time.
That's
didn't
what
they
think.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Hopefully
so
not.
So if they do manage to salvage anything that way, yeah. I think they need to stop drilling. I think they still need to stop doing any sort of structural stuff on that side. They need to. But this
thing
is the thing.
Come from the outside.
Well, that's and this is where I'm getting to because what they've actually discovered.
Yeah.
There's an area of the island called Smith's Cove, which is a bit of a cove off the coast, right?
Yeah.
And it would be an ideal place to dock, bring in treasure, especially if you're a pirate ship or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So what they started doing some metal detecting and stuff in the area, and they were finding bits and pieces, but they thought it's got history.
Yeah.
That this area. As the previous searchers have found things and they've thought, right, this is interesting.
Yeah.
So we're going to kind of excavate it.
Yeah, yeah, which you would.
So they've spent fortune on building a cofferdam, which basically holds back the sea, right?
Yeah.
So they can dry out the area
and
excavate it properly.
Yeah.
And they've been finding structures that have never been discovered before. Now, I'm not even talking like
what
wooden structures.
Of?
Talking about concrete walls,
oh,
right?
Shit.
Which were 30 feet underground, underwater, yeah.
What?
Right. So now all this sea, this tide's gone,
yeah.
Like, and they've pushed back the ocean,
yeah.
These concrete walls, right? The only people who were working in concrete, you know, pre-searcher, were the Romans. Do you know what I mean?
So
it's so like
we're saying Romans have.
Well, it's weird up. Because they, well, there's evidence of. Spanish conquistadors, the Knights Templar.
Yes, yeah.
There's evidence of Europeans, Nordic.
Yeah.
There's evidence of so many different kind of people being on the island.
That it makes that it a treasure trove.
It makes it kind of impossible to narrow it down to who it is. And a lot of it is speculation, and they do clutch at straws quite a lot.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, right?
Yeah.
And there's so many different things there that are kind of shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
That there's definitely got to be something there, and there's got to be something to the mystery, right?
Well, they found little bits.
Well, they found
here and
bits
there,
and pieces, so
symbols.
There is definitely something to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
totally
just
agree.
Busting it wide open,
yeah.
Right? So this is why I'm talking about the salvage laws and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So the season's been going along,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And been watching it quite happily. They've been finding stuff, and it gets to a quite a pivotal point where they found this structure under Smith's Cove.
Yeah.
Which all they've got to do really now is follow that. I mean, if it is what they think it is, it's a flood tunnel.
Yeah.
That was designed to stop searchers from getting to the treasure, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Now
yeah.
They believe that it was masons and stonemasons who designed all this. So.
Well, there is
you know,
symbolism there.
Yeah.
So,
exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of that sort of stuff on the island. So. What they suggested is that this was built by stonemasons or, you know, a group of skilled individuals,
yeah.
Right, to stop people getting to the vault by booby-trapping it to flood it with seawater, right?
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say,
now,
there's
like
quite
I say,
a few traps, isn't there?
It seems that they found this tunnel, right? And if that's the case, all they'd have to do is follow the tunnel down into the main vault.
Well,
right?
Yeah. Unless
that's well, again, yeah, we've all seen Indiana Jones.
This is it.
Right?
You don't
get
want
a big
boulder right
around you.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So, like, what I'm thinking is, we've got to episode 14, right?
Have we?
Well, we have, right? But the last episode I watched, episode 13,
yeah.
Right? Then we get to episode 14, I get chilled, I want to watch it, buzzing. I love Oak Island Day, it's sort of the highlight of my week.
Yeah.
Watch a bit of Oak
Sat
Island.
Sat down, chilled, ready to.
It's not on. It's not. It's totally not on.
What?
Right?
What?
Disappeared.
What kind of shit is
this? I'm thinking, oh, it'll be on in a couple of days. I don't know when it'll be on. It's probably one of those week, you know, them mid-season breaks or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So
was it?
No. I start looking for air dates, right?
Okay.
When did it air? Have I missed it and all this, right? So I've looked into it. And it said it aired on the 19th of February, right?
Right, so.
No.
What do you mean?
Now, my brother's into Oak Island as well, so I thought I was on the phone to him and said, Paul, do you find Oak Island this week? Have you watched it? He said, can't find it anywhere, right?
Right.
So I'm thinking, oh, well. And I mean, this doesn't sound like much of a mystery, right?
But
until
it is.
I started looking into it, right?
Yeah.
This episode has not been aired, right?
Yet they're saying it's been aired.
No, well, they're saying it's been aired, but no, even the History Channel's website states episode 13, the next episode, episode 15. It's like it's been taken down completely, right? And there is an episode up that is claiming to be episode 14, but that to me just looks like one of the extra dig episodes where they just kind of have these extra episodes thrown in. Yeah, okay. Because it's got a host.
Yeah.
And they never have a host. They just have a voiceover guy.
Yeah.
And the focus is always on the Laginas or the work they're doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't buy that was this week's episode. Do you know what I mean?
Right. And
so I'm Googling it anyway. And I've come up with an actual Reddit post, right? Or a Reddit group that are all in the same thing. They're basically saying that this episode's never existed, right?
Yeah.
It's, what was it? So we'll start at the top because I was actually quite impressed because I was thinking, so episode 14 didn't record for us either. So this is somebody who was using Hulu Live.
Oh, right.
So it doesn't even show up as being, as coming up for record next week. I didn't show it up on the schedule. I visited the History Channel's website and it seems like it's a conspiracy to me. This could be episode 14's Holds All the Answers. So this is what I'm thinking, that they've discovered something in episode 14 and they were about to put it out, but it's been pulled, right? So
what
did they discover? What did they discover, right, that as, you know...
all right then, right, well, what you need to do is look at 15 when it comes out, right? And watch 13
it always throws me off though, because they were up to was where they found this this tunnel.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're supposed to have found or what they possibly could find, because it's such a big mystery. They find random stuff on a weekly basis.
It's probably been moved to a studio now.
Well, potentially. Yeah. I mean, this comment says something must have affected the space-time continuum. Episode 14 seems to have been completely wiped from existence. Great Scott Martyr. So episode 13 was called The Paper Chase, and then the next one was supposed to be listed, I think it was like The Pirates of Oak Island, or something along that line.
So that suggests...
And then episode 15 is A Voyage to the Bottom. So, you know, episode 14's just totally vanished. Right. I'm suspecting it's been pulled, because not only is it just not listed on anywhere,
yeah,
and you can Google for it and you won't find it, that the History Channel itself has omitted it in their scheduling.
When
they have those episodes where it'll be like catch up, and they'll list all the episodes that are available, it stands to reason if 13 and 15 are there, that episode 14 would be there too. My theory is that something big's happened, something's been found, something's been taken, or something's not quite right.
And I totally agree.
Yeah.
It's too suspicious.
So I think there was something, I'm going to keep looking into this anyway.
Or is it done deliberately?
I'm not even joking. If you find the episode and you can send it to me,
then
I will be much appreciated, because I want to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even if nothing happens, even if it's a bog standard episode,
there's got to be something in there. Still, because it hasn't been aired.
Pardon me. The fact that it's not been aired is a bit of a shifter. So, I mean, if you've not looked into the Oak Island mystery, that isn't even the half of it. The fact that an episode is missing.
Yeah.
It's just another nail in the
coffin of suspicion
of Oak Island, because there's just so much to it. So, yeah. I think we had our Paul in on the last episode as well, and he'd have a lot to say on this topic as well, because, and I don't know if he's even thought of this yet, this as a conspiracy.
You know, we'll have to bring him in and talk about it again.
Because he was just kind of like, oh, well, if you find it, will you send me a link, you know, and he was just kind of bummed that he weren't on, but I've got a curious mind, so I went searching, looking for the episode, couldn't find it. Came across, I thought, you know, there's a group of people out there who, you know, if you've got a question, there's a load of people already on it.
Reddit.
Get on Reddit.
Yeah.
You'll find a few people talking about whatever your topic is.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's pretty much it for this, for the extra.
Yeah.
and our little bit of Oak Island catch up. Yes, like I say, they're doing a lot of different things. I mean, even to the point where they reckon they've found the 90-foot stone at the moment.
Well, that'd be a surprise if that's the one that they on 14.
Well, they've actually found it in a previous episode, but what the problem there was, how it's described in every sort of document.
Yeah.
I mean, the shape and dimensions, yeah, but the way these markings are supposed to be etched into it.
Yeah.
Right, so the story is that this stone, it was last seen in a bookshop window, right?
All right.
And before that, it was being used as a leather worker's, and he was using it as a working stone, for his for his work. So basically, he reckons that all the markings have been sort of worked off. But then it was rumoured that this stone was just hidden or taken away, or it went missing.
Yeah.
So the couple of the guys at Oak Island got access to this building.
Yeah.
And they went down into the basement, into a sub basement that had not really been touched for years.
Okay.
And in the corner, there's a stone that matched the size, the description, and it had a little marking in it of initials, which did match the description of the last visual sort of encounter with it. And, they basically thought this is the legit 90-foot stone. But it looks, in terms of markings and stuff like that, they've actually sent it off to be analysed to see if they can do any electro sort of scans on it, to find out if there's any sort of other markings that they can't see.
And they've come up with
a few bits and pieces, but
nothing much.
But if there's any other updates on the Oak Island mystery, I'll give you a shout. And obviously, if they do find anything, or if we find episode 14 and find out that there is something going on, then we'll definitely be telling you.
Smells
a bit fishy to me.
No smoke without fire.
Yep. So, that's it for this episode of Never a Straight Answer Extra. If you want to get us on email and send us a story or just a hello, or, if you want to,
just contact us.
Give us a shout. We're always happy for to reply.
Yeah.
You can get us at neverstraightanswer@gmail.com. You can hit us up at Twitter at NASA_never and Instagram at neverstraightanswer.
Yeah.
You find us on every platform for podcasts, including iTunes, Google Podcast, Chromecast, Radio Public, Castbox, Podbean, Anchor, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, YouTube, all of them. So wherever you get your podcast fix, you can find us by searching Never a Straight Answer. And if you want to check out some of our merch you can go to Dizzy Jam, Never a Straight Answer there, and
got
you can
good stuff.
Get mugs and hats and all types of stuff.
Yeah.
Also, if you want to help us out on Patreon, can chuck in a book, throw us a euro,
or a dollar,
or a quid, or whatever you've got in your pocket,
whatever you
just spend on sweets, just throw it our way.
Yeah.
It's all going to make the podcast better. Yeah. And
offer you.
And to kind of offer you a bit more in the way of kind of treats as well.
Sort
of thing.
Yeah.
It's all going back, so why not?
Yeah.
If you like what we do. Obviously give us a support, maybe a like or a review. Has he got his what's it?
Festival, mate. why not?
why not festival? He's just pulled his jacket open and it's like, why not? There you go. You've made me lose my jail thought now. Yeah, if you want to kind of support us in any way, give us a like or a review or anything like that on iTunes. And we'll keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because we love
like
it.
And we
love
it.
You. So keep us out of trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's it for another episode of Never a Straight Answer Extra. I've been Gaz.
I've been Taylor.
And that's it. Peace.
Outta.